Content Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, as you heard, Don Nikoloff, and we are going to do this ride tonight alone, or maybe get a visitation of some benevolent spirits, or at least one. Let's hope the Holy Spirit's here with us tonight. I'm going to talk about some things that have been on my mind in regard to the recent topics that were brought up at the, I guess you could call it a Republican debate, the one that took place at the Presidential Library honoring President Ronald Reagan in California. What was interesting was the people who were in the crowd. I noticed that Ted Turner from CNN was there. Of course, the event was shown on CNN. Also present was Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, for those of you who don't keep track of those things. And I was reminded of the fact that although Schwarzenegger himself claims that his father was an Austrian customs agent, which he very well may have been, most likely he was working for Adolf Hitler. In fact, that information seems to be widely accepted around the world by researchers of not just the Holocaust, but also World War II. And I don't mean to even get into a discussion about the Holocaust other than, well, while researchers are looking into the events as they are portrayed in history and as they have been written about in the history books, there is so much conflicting information as to what happened to many of the war criminals who were arrested and tried at Nuremberg. Many claimed to have, or were claimed to have been, let's say, executed, for lack of a better word, and yet some individuals, some who were obviously criminal throughout the war, and possibly even prior to the war, characters like Otto Skorzeny ended up in Madrid, Spain, according to the history books, dying in 1975 of cancer. Now, I've written last year a major piece that actually shows who these people are, and as I listened to the State of the Onion address, I've been calling it that because it's really peeling layers off the onion to get to the truth. It has nothing to do with the reality of what the state of our nation is currently. I found myself comparing the president's statements to the things that I know are fact based upon the new research that I did and the wide acceptance it's gotten around the world. I don't intend to sound egotistical or to sound like I'm bragging about this research. I can say that, in a sense, I'm gratified that people see the truth, that I've been able to, so to speak, go down the proverbial rabbit hole and come out with some facts that were underground, that were buried or compartmentalized in a tunnel dug by a rodent. And, of course, there were other types of rodents as well, and those are the ones that are embezzling trillions of dollars and creating wars all over the world. While they spew their brainwashing, mind-controlling stench of propaganda to the general masses that don't know better and don't really have time to do the research. I became quite angry listening to the president's words, knowing that many of the things that he said were not even his own words. Of course, we all know that presidents and politicians in general have speech writers. They have people that know how to use the language, know how to spin the truth or spin lies into the truth or just spin lies, period, to cause you to believe that what you're hearing is actually the truth when in reality it's not even close to the truth. Or it lacks, in general, a predominant tone of the truth. So we can't fault the president totally for the speech, but certainly he would approve the speech. Why would we at this point in history expect any politician to begin telling the truth when we are uncovering decades and decades, even centuries of lies? So tonight's story is going to deal with some new revelations that are coming out. And some are, we could say, synchronistically parallel to things that I have either written or things that I have been talking about on this show, as well as on some other shows where I have appeared as a guest with the intention of talking about something like the JFK senior presidential assassination or the JFK junior plane crash as an assassination. And I've given many, many facts and from a metaphysical perspective as well as my own participation in identifying the crash site and communicating with the various government agencies responsible for the search and rescue mission. These are experiences that I don't talk about much, but they're worth bringing up because I have feelings and I have impressions and I have enough intuition to look at events like 9/11 and the destruction of the World Trade Center towers, specifically numbers 1 and 2, as well as number 7. And there are new reports coming out about Building 6 and I think Building 5. One of the buildings is the Deutsche Bank, which supposedly had been repaired and then ended up being demolished, basically, because for some reason the repairs didn't stick. What I find interesting is that the Deutsche Bank got damaged from the events, and at the same time, Deutsche Bank is at the bottom and the top of the corruption involving the current subprime housing scandal, as well as they have been a prime participant or conspirator in the laundering of these trillions of dollars that I just referred to a moment or two ago. And I'm talking about the Leo Wanta trillions, of which he is trying to claim a settlement he worked out with the government of $4.5 trillion, with the intention of paying taxes into the U.S. Treasury on the books in the amount of $1.575 trillion. Now, 9/11 was a bank robbery. It was a gold heist. It was a cover-up of massive, let's say, corruption in the stock markets, particularly in put options on airline industries. And there have been numerous videos that have come out. Dave Von Kleist did a video called In Plain Sight. And, of course, Dylan Avery and some of his buddies, basically college students, worked on a film and have come out with three separate editions of this film, documentary called Loose Change. Now, there may be inaccuracies or some inconsistencies in anyone's research, particularly when all the facts are being covered up. and the explanations given to us by the government end up being lies, of course it would be difficult. And when they destroy the evidence, much like they're doing in the elections right now, there's no difference. They destroy several skyscrapers in Midtown Manhattan, and they clean up the debris in rapid fashion to hide the evidence, to tamper with the evidence, something that would never be allowed to take place at any crime scene. You have to ask yourself why they didn't spend months like they do in any other event. I mean, I remember the O.J. Simpson trial. They scoured Nicole Simpson's courtyard, and they scoured the fence, and they took footprints in O.J.'s living room, and they looked behind the house next to the air conditioner where Cato Kalin claimed he heard a thump or a thud. And they spent months and months and months on that, and yet 9/11, where over 3,000 people were killed in at least two cities, it was swept under the rug. It's obvious what's going on. It's quite obvious that they don't want to talk about it, and they just want to go start a war someplace to draw the attention away from the fact that they committed murder. It was a conspiracy, and it's not a theory. It was a murder. No one can deny that people were murdered. But there was not a proper investigation, and setting up a commission like they do every time they want to cover up the truth and avoid the courts is not the answer. Now, there have been numerous people, Dr. Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University, a physics professor and an expert on building demolition and those types of phenomenon, was fired from his job for speaking out about the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. They went after Dr. James Fetzer, who is really a psychologist, but even a psychologist can look at what happened on 9/11 and draw some conclusions that our government was behind it, despite what the president said in his State of the Union address. In fact, comparing the facts of 9/11 to what he said, It was a charade, his speech. And I would say that he's a charlatan, because there was no truth in what he said. So who was he saying this for, or who was he saying this to, and what was the purpose behind what he said? Was it to continue the lies, or was it a smokescreen for what might be coming? Now, I received an important document today, and I consider it important, number one, because it comes from some people who know everything about the type of technology that likely was used on 9/11. I happened to see, it's been a good 6 months ago, if not longer, happened to see a video called 9/11 Eyewitness. It was produced. And when I say produced, I say that with great reservation, because it was a man who just set up his camera and filmed from across the Hudson River, from the New Jersey shore, the events of 9/11. He aimed his camera at the World Trade Center and let it roll. His name is Rick Siegel, and I understand ever since Rick Siegel came out with this video, he's been harassed. Now, the video is in three parts, and it's a pretty long video. I would say it's at least 2 hours. It's got some of the most incriminating video about 9/11 that exists. What's interesting is the shots that we were given on the media, and I'm speaking about TV, first of all, were from one particular vantage point. All of the media actually used the same general footage. Oh, they might have changed their angle slightly, or they might have been a little bit further away where they did what we call a long shot, where the zoom is pulled way back, and you're seeing possibly more of an area, or at least you're not seeing it up as close. So it gives the illusion that it's picking up more of the surroundings. However, the type of cameras that they used really give you sort of a tunnel vision. So you're either seeing tunnel vision up close, or you're seeing the same tunnel vision far away. Pulling the shot back didn't necessarily show you that much more around the area. It was fixed primarily on the two smoking towers and the plumes of smoke that were creeping up, probably unintentionally, but nonetheless were creeping up from ground level. In one instance, near Building 6. Now, when Dave von Kleist came out with his film 9/11 in Plain Sight, plain spelled P-L-A-N-E, he was accused of doctoring the film, that he created this smoke that was coming up near Building 6. And he challenged it and came out with another film and analyzed it and said, I'm showing the same film that all the networks showed. And he showed these. And so basically he argued his point and proved his point, and they backed off and let him alone. But then with that, the whole issue died. In other words, now they've got everyone thinking about Britney Spears. They had us thinking about Anna Nicole Smith. That's until her baby died, her son died, and then she died. And no one seemed to think that there might be some foul play there. We've heard about the blonde bimbos ever since we've been in Iraq. Then we hear about Lindsay Lohan. Then we hear about Paris Hilton ad nauseum. You know, I have to tell you, at this point, I really don't care if Britney Spears is in the hospital, if she's at home, or she's on a concert tour. To me, it doesn't matter. Personally, I don't care for her music. I don't care for the image she portrays, even though she was brought up in the Disney make-believe mind-control world. Think about that. Think about what we get sucked into through all this mind control and this propaganda. Oh, when they tell us that's what the people want to hear, that's what they want to hear. So while you're busy thinking about that, there are some of us researchers, some of us are talk show hosts, some of us are just patriots that are interested in taking our country back away from these criminals, these psychopaths, these murderers, bank robbers, call them what you will. That's what they're doing, and that's the fruits of their labors, is corruption. And they want to feed us more of the same corruption through these debates, having all these actors play like they're the new savior, they're the best thing since sliced bread, and they're going to all save our country. Of course, they have to shoot down Ron Paul that it would be impossible to run a country without taxes. Yet they say 67 million or more people don't pay their taxes. So evidently the country's still running. Something's working. And I can guarantee you, whether we pay the taxes or not, the country runs. It's just that they're not making the billions and the trillions and putting it in their pocket like they would if the other 67 million people were paying taxes. Now, no one seems to ask how an airplane can just slice like a hot knife through butter into a skyscraper, disappear totally, and how a building can turn to absolute powder from a plane hitting it. Oh, it's the fuel, they say. I've seen trucks with full fuel tanks burn on a highway. I saw that maybe 4 months ago near my home. A car had veered off the road and hit a truck, which was across the median strip, and a rather wide median strip at that. Crashed head-on into a truck at a very high rate of speed. The car blew up, split in half, burned for 2 hours. The truck burned just as long, and the truck was still there. You could still tell it was a truck. It was diesel fuel. In fact, the driver survived. He got out and came off to the other side of the highway where I had stopped and some other drivers had stopped to see if we could be of assistance. We saw two vehicles burning to a crisp, and still you could tell what make and model the car was, even split in half. And you could recognize that it was a semi-truck. Now, granted, it wasn't going at 600 miles an hour and hitting a skyscraper, but there was a fire. The thing is, neither the truck nor the car were supported by 47, hard steel columns. 47 of these columns were snapped like twigs. Just doesn't happen, folks. And I'm sure that when the firefighters that saw this traffic accident cleaned it up, I don't think they had any exposure to radiation, yet many of the workers at Ground Zero for the 3 months or so that this cleanup was going on were exposed to radiation. Where did the radiation come from? We'll come back to that in a moment. So we had a commission. The commission went in there, and right away the news media knew that there were 19 Arab hijackers. I'm sure there were some Arabs, and they were probably being trained for some role or to be the patsies, much like Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy for the Kennedy assassination, and I'm speaking about the president, not his son. What's amazing is that in both of the Kennedy assassinations, the Bush family shows up, or they're mentioned. They have reason. In fact, the JFK Jr. assassination had everything to do with his father's assassination and the information he had learned. And who stood to profit from his death, his early demise? Well, it would have been, guess who? Hillary Clinton, who happens to be running for president now. And had JFK Jr. survived, would have had to run against him for the Senate in New York. And she would have lost for sure, without a doubt. And he wouldn't have even had to bring up the fact that she's been embezzling billions of dollars from the U.S. government, from the Treasury. And so as her husband, he wouldn't have had to bring up the fact that he's a homosexual or a bisexual and that she's a lesbian. He wouldn't have had to bring that up. He could have just faced the facts that he learned about the assassination, because it's been documented, and he received a copy of the details of who was involved. Now, what's interesting is that report matches research that other people have researched, including yours truly. And I remember that day, and I find it impossible to believe that a CIA participant who eventually became president of the United States still cannot remember where he was that day. What a bunch of crap that is. doesn't need any peeling, though. There's no layers. It's pure stink. And they've got these people on TV asking you to give billions of dollars to save the victims of Hurricane Katrina. But they funnel the Council on Foreign Relations. Ask them where the billions are that they sent, because they're not fixing anything with it. It's just one chapter of corruption and page after page of corruption, one right after the other. And everybody stays asleep. Well, we can't do anything about it. We know they're corrupt. You can stop it. You can decide that you're going to do something about it, and you can stop it. You can talk about it. You can take some kind of action. Now, back to the email I was going to read. This is very pertinent to what I'm talking about here, because there were people who have not given up on the research on what happened on 9/11. And I mentioned a video, 9/11 Eyewitness, by Rick Siegel, where I saw a chopper from his vantage point across the Hudson River. I saw numerous helicopters, black helicopters, flying back and forth behind the World Trade Center towers. There was really only one chopper visible in any of the frontal 9/11 footage that the media showed. There was a chopper that appeared from behind one of the towers, and the other tower from behind that was a flying saucer. And there was a very fast projectile shot at a 45-degree angle in the direction of Building 7. It's probably what started the fire at Building 7 before Larry Silverstein told them to pull it, which is demolition parlance for bring the building down. Now, how did that building fall with a fire on the roof? And for that matter, those twin towers were made to withstand the impact of a rather large airliner. Rick Siegel's video shows a helicopter and a close-up of the helicopter going near one of the towers, approaching the tower at roof level or just above roof level, and you see a flash come from the chopper. The chopper pulls immediately out of the area and the building begins to fall. Now, what would that be, that flash? Well, you could call it a pulse weapon, you could call it a particle beam weapon, or you could call it a directed energy weapon. And I have talked about that for the past year, almost 2 years, but very much over the past year, on many shows. People told me, oh, you have no proof of that. And I said, well, I've seen this video, this one video, 9/11 Eyewitness. And what was interesting is Mr. Siegel, for a good hour and a half, kept his camera on a tripod and just let it roll. And he was approached by port authorities and police who told him he had to move, that they were going to be rescuing people from Manhattan and bringing them over in boats or on a ferry. They were going to transport them across the river to safer ground. And so he couldn't leave his camera set up there. So he went to the next pier and set up again and continued filming. And it's a good thing he did that. He captured some incredible footage, and he analyzed the footage, and he made a documentary film out of it. It was quite good. Quite good. Now, I looked at this film, and I said to myself, there's the answer. There's what ultimately brought the buildings down. It's evident that that's what happened, and it doesn't matter to me. If anybody thinks I'm crazy, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to bring this to everyone's awareness. That simple little thing seen on the video was enough to convince me that the government was behind it. It wasn't Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda flying in that chopper, folks. And you can get the video online. Just Google 9/11 eyewitness. 911 eyewitness. Put it in a Google search engine. And you should be able to find the film. If you can't, email me. Go to my site, Direct Light Productions. You can reach me on the contact page. You can call into this show. Also, the numbers are on the BBS index page. The email, scientistcwtc, Hutchison effect parallel. Hutchison effect. Let me regress for a moment and just tell you that they're referring to the physics experiments of John Hutchison. He admittedly, and he's a Canadian, by the way, he has been doing some work as a consultant. Boeing, for example, is looking at his work. Boeing is an Illuminati company, by the way. The Vatican has a big interest in Boeing and what goes on there. The USA. In two appearances on a Washington, D.C. Pacifica radio station, WPFW, on a show hosted by author and political commentator Ambrose I. Lane Sr., Dr. Judy Wood, a former professor of mechanical engineering, and John Hutchison, experimental scientist, discussed how photographic and video evidence suggests that the World Trade Center towers, or the WTC towers, were destroyed using directed energy weapons, otherwise called DEW. Many of the observed effects resemble those seen in John Hutchison's experiments. In early January 2008, Wood posted a new study on her website, which is drjudywood.com/articles/JJ, which relates effects seen in photographs taken before, during, and after the destruction of the World Trade Center complex to effects seen in Hutchison's ongoing experiments. Wood and Hutchison co-authored the study. John Hutchison is a Canadian inventor and experimental scientist who has been working with field effects for almost 30 years. The Hutchison effect is a collection of phenomena discovered accidentally by John Hutchison in 1979 during attempts to reproduce the work of Nikola Tesla. Hutchison uses radio frequency and electrostatic sources. The Hutchison effect occurs in a volume of space where the beams intersect and interfere. The results are levitation of heavy objects, fusion of dissimilar materials such as metal and wood, anomalous melting without heating of metals without burning adjacent material, spontaneous fracturing of metals which separate by sliding in a sideways fashion, and both temporary and permanent changes in the crystalline structure and physical properties of metal samples. Hutchison has reproduced his experiments many times, and the results are recorded on video and have been included in a number of TV documentaries that focus on unusual scientific experiments. Hutchison's metal samples have been repeatedly tested by scientists, including a group at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, confirming the Hutchison effects. The article by Wood and Hutchison, and I just referred to the link, documents effects and events seen in the vicinity of the World Trade Center and compares these with the observed characteristics of the Hutchison effect. The observed effects include, now pay attention to this, weird fires. The fires seen near the badly damaged cars do not seem to ignite nearby office paper. Some photos show firefighters walking very close to or even through the fires. A video by John Hutchison shows similar-looking fires on a model metal boat. Bent beams and jellification. Samples that Hutchison produced show very unusual effects on metal. Sometimes the metal jellifies, turning soft and losing form, leading to severe bending or fracturing of the sample. Sometimes samples erupt from the center, and sometimes they turn to dust, similar to what happened to the World Trade Center on 9/11. Ongoing reactions. Hutchison's examples often show an ongoing reaction even after the energy field is removed. This non-self-quenching reaction seems to occur at the nuclear level. This also appears to be happening at ground zero. Dr. Wood's study suggests that the World Trade Center site is still being decontaminated, with trucks moving dirt into and out of the site while hosing down operations continue, which Dr. Wood and Andrew Johnson photographed and recorded on video in January 2008. Wood, Hutchison, and Johnson appeared on two Ambrose Lane shows, We Ourselves, and discussed the similarities between the World Trade Center event and the experimental evidence produced by the Hutchison effect. I have been collecting data over the last year and a half or so, and I have found these distinct and unusual characteristics, which I have given names such as fuming and toasted cars. I have even noticed flipped cars in some pictures, said Wood. In some cases, the flipped cars are sitting next to trees that are fully covered with leaves. If the flipping of the cars was caused by big explosions or wind from the towers coming down, asked Johnson, how did the leaves stay on the trees? Material scientist George Hathaway observes that the Hutchison effect causes either lift or disruption of the material itself. Lift explains the flipped cars. And you can read about that at drjudywood.com/PDF/Hutchison, and that's spelled H-U-T-C-H-I-S-O-N, effect. Report _ text, or I should say TXT, .PDF. Now, if you're not sure about that, please go back and hear the archive when it gets posted, and you can get that a second time. I want to continue on here. In some of his experiments, Hutchison observed spontaneous combustion where fires appeared out of nowhere, unquote. He also confirmed that Colonel John Alexander and others from the U.S. military visited him in 1983 and filmed his experiments with a team from Los Alamos National Laboratories. And that is actually covered in an interview. There's an MP3 at www.weourselves.org. MP3/WPFW_011808_Judy-Andrew2.MP3. Canadian MP Chuck Cook and Dr. Lorne A. Kuhn of the Canadian Security Intelligence Services, or the CSIS, and that should not be, let's say, confused with the Council, or I should say, Center for Strategic and International Studies. Okay, that's the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, contacted him in 1986, and told him his work was a matter of national security. And then there is another link. I think if you go to the first couple of links, you're going to run into the rest of these articles. They're very similar links on the same website, and that's at drjudywood.com. Hutchison says he's been told that defense contractor SAIC has his technology and has been developing it. Asked about ongoing dirt removal and hosing down at the World Trade Center complex, Hutchison commented, "I think there is an ongoing reaction or infection." Wood noted that the damage done to the Bankers Trust, Deutsche Bank, building was repaired, but then they decided to take the building down. This evidence indicates there is a continuing reaction there. Rusting beams in the Bankers building, or Bankers Trust building, and the temporary PATH train station also suggest ongoing reactions too. At the end of the first show, a caller said, "This is a revelation beyond revelations. This trumps everything. If this story ever gets out, it will change the course of the United States and the whole world's history." Another caller said during the second show, "I am thinking that these revelations we are hearing this morning should have the people so excited and so outraged that they should be flooding the lines to their congressmen and newspeople to get this message out as the number one story of the year." Now, the email continues with a couple of references to, again, the websites, www.weourselves.org and www.wpfw.org. And then the Dr. Judy Wood and Andrew Johnson, and the Judy Wood and John Hutchison and Andrew Johnson interviews. There are also pictures included, and I'm sure you will see those at the website, where they actually give you examples of bent beams, jellification, the cars, both phenomenon of lift and disintegration, as well as toasted metal and other anomalous transmutation. Now, transmutation is really an interesting phenomenon. I hope to talk about that on one of my shows, which features metaphysics, where I will be talking about the technique of transmutation from a metaphysical perspective. But it's the same process. He also talks about fuming on this site. Now, this mentioned, I think, I could substantiate something even more. Here we're hearing about a technology that many are just hearing for the first time. And certainly we've seen the impact of this technology, but we're given specific references to what actually occurred. I mentioned to you what I saw in Rick Siegel's video, 9/11 Eyewitness. And I've been telling everyone on talk shows for at least the past 6 months that this is probably the most incriminating of all of the 9/11 videos. It shows the government, which had ordered all the aircraft out of the air across the country, had choppers flying around. And to bear this out a bit more, I invite you to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and go to my photos page. There is an album, as promised, there is an album of military photographs taken from a chopper that was basically flying around the whole disaster area, around Ground Zero, and it was filming some of the destruction of the buildings. There are a few rather sinister pictures of people standing in blown-out window spaces, standing on the windowsills, I would presume, contemplating whether or not they should jump while they are waiting to see if someone is going to rescue them. And when I consider the fact that this chopper is flying around taking pictures and could have been used to try to rescue people, it just makes me cringe. And it should you too. But I want to invite you to go to my photos page. You can open up the album that says World Trade Center on it, or WTC, photos from Ground Zero, and it will also play as a picture player, and it will cycle through the pictures for you if you're too lazy to open up that page. So you have two ways to look at it. You are going to see some things that are taken from a chopper, so the shots, for the most part, are taken from a rather large distance. However, you can definitely see quite a bit of destruction, smoke, fumes, clouds, call them what you will. What is interesting about the smoke and the fumes and the clouds, which are definitely caused by all the debris that's being scattered about Manhattan as these buildings are imploding, you will notice, and you will see this later for sure, there's not a way to actually zoom in on the photos on my site intentionally, because I'm going to be producing a documentary DVD that shows specifically what is in that smoke and what is in those clouds. I'll give you some hints. There's a head, the shape of a human head, and it has eyes, and it has a nose, and a mouth, and a chin, and, you know, it has lips, and it has ears. Some of these images have hair. We're talking about clouds and smoke and fumes that are manifesting themselves physically, taking on physical appearance of beings. One such of these images has a split in the top of the skull, we'll call it, for lack of a better word. Imagine that it's a head, and most heads have skulls. From the back to the front, it's slit open, and there's another one of these coming through it, again forming a different shaped head, more sinister looking. Actually, it looks very reptilian. And it's as if you're watching the clouds shape-shifting. It is a demonic get together. It is a demonic celebration of sorts. It reminds me of a high school reunion of the world's demons. Maybe possibly the demons that are roaming throughout our solar system, our galaxy, and our part of the universe. It is one of the most sinister collections of perverted magic that I've ever seen. And I can't write that in big enough font to get that point across. I can't use a red enough color to demonstrate the amount of anger and disgust that I feel in seeing this. Now, in addition, in this picture, after I've already referred to a Fox video that has clearly a flying saucer that comes from behind one of the towers, it appears, right before it appeared, there is what appears to be a missile at a very rapid rate fired into the top of Building 7, and this saucer comes out and hovers for a moment, and then it takes off, and before it reaches the horizon, it disappears in midair. In other words, it cloaked itself. It was someplace, but you couldn't see it anymore. And it had flown out of range, so it cloaked itself. It possibly entered another dimension, or just made itself invisible. And we know that technology is there, so this isn't a far stretch. Many millions of people have seen flying saucers, so this is not the first flying saucer ever to appear in public. I find it highly interesting that it appeared on 9/11 and that it was hovering at the top of the towers before it fell, of course. In this photograph I'm describing, in fact, it's photograph number, if I remember correctly, it's photograph number 33 or 34. You can see a huge cloud that looks like a human head looking up at the sky at a 45-degree angle. It's not looking straight up, and it's not looking straight ahead. It's at a 45-degree angle. And right in the direction of where it's looking is nothing other than a flying saucer. And it's in the same position, the same general area that the saucer I just referred to was in the Fox video. In addition, to the left of the saucer and facing the viewer of the picture, definitely it was facing the chopper that was flying around. And when the photographer took this picture, dead on, he was lined up with a, what I'm going to guess was 40 to 50 stories high, head of Adolf Hitler. You can see the hair. You can see the eyes, the ears. In fact, I compared the ears in this cloud to a photograph of Hitler, and it's a perfect match. You can see the mustache and the chin. The thing is, his eyes are partially masked by smoke that's across in a straight line, as if it intended to be hidden. There are animals. There are wolves and foxes and combinations of, I don't know if they're dogs and wolves and goats, but these animals are, they look like hybrids, crossbred hybrids. There are anomalies that appear in the fire, and there was some indication by numerous researchers that these images appeared on CNN when they first showed the plane bursting through the building and these huge plumes of flame coming out. And many of the images are, again, these animals. In the photograph that I referred to, which is, and if you go to my site, you can see these pictures while I'm talking about them. Go to directlightproductions.com, press on photos, then click on the World Trade Center album, and you can scroll through those pictures and you'll find the pictures I'm talking about. There's an image of one of the towers with all the, basically all the windows are blown out, and the employees that have worked their way to the windows, the edge of the windows, to escape the flames and the smoke and the massive heat. To the left, on one of the frames between floors, where they are standing, there is the image of a skull and bones right on the building. This is not something, a sign someone put up. This is not something someone painted on the building. It's in the image. And I can go on and on for hours. There are some 55 photos in that whole album, and most of the photos have some very revealing anomalies that show that this was not just an event that was perpetrated by a couple of camel jockeys who were hiding in caves somewhere in Afghanistan. There was a tremendous amount of preparation behind this. And now we have scientific evidence, or we have the information which definitely makes a lot of sense. In fact, it's exactly what I have been describing. Although I never referred it to the Hutchison effect, I know who John Hutchison is, and I'm very familiar with his work. He has spoken numerous times at the Tesla Tech conferences, and he writes or has been interviewed in the Tesla Tech magazine. And those events in that magazine are for the Nikola Tesla junkies, the people that just can't get enough of that knowledge. Hutchison is sort of a natural. He's a rather young individual, very vibrant and very intelligent, very easygoing, actually quite funny, a very lucid individual. He's not stuffy like many scientists are, and he's not limited by dogma. He's a very creative person. But this isn't something he's imagining. He's joining forces with a professor of mechanical engineering and imparting his knowledge. She was aware of Hutchison's work as well. Now, I don't know the exact circumstances as to how the two got together, but Judy Wood almost single-handedly has been fighting all of the debunking that's been going on, all of the spin to try to discredit anyone that comes out and says something truthful about 9/11. Now, for several years, I've been sitting on some photographs from the Pentagon, which was also hit by an airplane. Interestingly, both buildings were hit by airplanes, and somehow the wings disappeared but didn't do the normal damage that wings do when an airplane hits a building. You know, it kind of leaves a silhouette like you see in cartoons. When Wile E. Coyote is chasing after the Roadrunner, and Wile E. Coyote goes through the fence, and you see Wile E. Coyote's silhouette in a hole. That's kind of what happens when a big airplane goes through a building like a hot knife through butter. Of course, I've never seen that, so I'm being a little bit facetious there, because there are people on some videos of about 9/11 that said there was no plane, there was no second plane. No one saw the first plane either. Likely, in both instances, it was missiles that started everything. And we know from Rick Siegel's video, and we know from this evidence coming out, still coming out, 7 years after the event, it's still coming out that there is a reaction going on there. So we're not talking about energy that dissipates in a normal fashion. And if it's touching upon higher forms of physics, there is probably some kind of sacred number worked into the equation that is an unending number. And just because that value is there, the reaction is still going on. It's the same principle behind pyramid power, that there are sacred numbers being used, and because of their relationships, when they're applied together, they produce energy. And it's a different kind of energy. It can be positive or misused. It can be destructive, highly destructive in the case of 9/11. Now, the photos that I saw from the Pentagon show the same types of anomalies in the smoke. You see demons. There's a head of a demon at the opening where the so-called airplane went into the Pentagon in the finance office, just like the plane hit the finance offices in the World Trade Center, just like the Oklahoma City bombing hit the finance offices in the J.P. Murrah Federal Building. There's a pattern there. The finance offices, the finance offices. I've been talking about embezzlement and corruption in the SEC and in the banks. This is related And what are they doing in the war on terror? They robbed the central bank in Iraq of $100 trillion. And they're building 14, what would you call them? They're like bases in Iraq. Humongous spreads. They may become concentration camps, like the ones they're building all over the United States, but they keep denying that they're doing it. Some of them in the United States, they've turned into crematoriums. And they've got crematoriums that travel on wheels. We're dealing with a criminal element, folks, unlike any that we've ever had on this planet. We're seeing it in real time. I thought it was worth bringing this up. This was just released yesterday. And here we are. Today is the 1st of February. Soon on the West Coast, it's going to be the 1st of February. And we're still arguing about this. There are many other anomalies about 9/11 that I will discuss on future shows. Unfortunately, we are out of time. And I want to thank everyone for listening. I especially want to give a shout out to Michael in New York. Michael, thank you. And Marianne in Arkansas. We need to keep praying for Rick Stanley. Rick Stanley is going to have legal representation from John Klar, I understand. And hopefully he will be released from prison. He's being falsely incarcerated. This is going on all over the country. We need to be praying for these people. We need to pray for Ron Paul as well. I'm thoroughly disgusted at how they mock him. The other candidates smirk when he speaks. It's obvious that they've got a little game figured out, and it's about time that we start waking up and at least supporting anyone that's showing any modicum of reason. The two candidates that ring a bell with that idea are Ron Paul and Albert Howard. We still have massive voter corruption in New Hampshire and other states. It's a given. Ron Paul will be or has filed a lawsuit against the major media under the RICO statutes. They're conspiring to prohibit him from running for president, and they're doing everything they can to impede his candidacy. So we must pray for Ron Paul. Folks, do something. Do something positive. Take some action. Speak to your friends. Do some research. Go out and make a difference. Take responsibility. We talk about that a lot on the show. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Jim Murray again. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. Have a good night, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now.
Italy, the new name in electronic music, presents his new album, Looking at the Stars. Check it out at www.vitalymusic.com and here at CBS Radio. Engaging music for all listeners.
Up, right, and get up, go. Watch my life escape with my soul. You make my soul, soul.